Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 15th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, 60% of supermarkets in Japan plan to offer U.S. beef once the ban on imports is lifted. U.S. farmers have posted another trade surplus for the nation, and the WTO isn't dead yet. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll have a commentary from the Farm Bureau and our last growing season installment of the crop weather reports from the statisticians in the Midwest. And don't forget, just after the bottom of the hour, we'll get an ever-important update on the weather forecast from Don Day. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We're here in Urbana, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at 307 was down 4 3/4 today. The March contract at 323 1/4 off 4 3/4 as well. December corn futures $1.95 3/4 down 1. The March contract down 3/4 at 210. And the May futures at $2.18 off a half cent. December futures at 244 1/4 down 3/4. January soybeans 592 1/4 down 2 3/4. The March futures at 599 1/4 down 1 3/4. And the May soybeans down 0.25 cents today at 605 1/4. Next year's November contract at $6.16 1/2 for off a half. December bean meal 180.20. They were unchanged on the day. December bean oil up, or rather down 17 at 22.34. From the Mercantile Exchange, November feeder cattle 116.37 1/2. They were up 57 1/2 cents. And live cattle settled the December contract at 91.70. They were up 62 1/2. December lean hogs at $63.85, up 50 cents for the day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
If you happen to be in the Vincennes area tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, that's in the Indiana time zone, 6 o'clock if you happen to live in Illinois, why don't you visit the Technology Center at Vincennes University? Mike Zuzulo, Clayton Pope, and Tim Young will be there, along with our own Director of Agricultural Programming here at the radio station, Dave Dickey, for a WILL AM 580 Ag Outlook panel. It's sponsored by the Agribusiness Department at the Vincennes University at the Technology Center there in Vincennes. Starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow. It's absolutely free. If you have the opportunity, please drop by and join that crew along with Dave Dickey. Make sure you bring your questions. Speaking of the crew, they're along this afternoon from New Market, Indiana, where Wayne Nelson is stationed and standing by. Hi, Wayne. How are you today?
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Kind of wet out there this afternoon. I suspect not much is happening in the way of field work. Probably all done if the numbers from USDA's crop weather reports were right yesterday. I think 99% of the soybeans were done, virtually everything there, and 95% of the corn was finished up. I do want to take up the soybean numbers from the Board of Trade just a bit this afternoon, because of course yesterday the November contract expired. The January going up and filling in where that November expired, is that important over the grand scheme of things or not?
Well, sure it is, Todd. You know, the question's going to be, are we coming down to meet where we went off? Are we going up to set you know, are we going to stay up to where we were with the carry in the market and everything that way? So, you know, very thing. But we're looking at these, of course, the resistance around the $6 mark, the 601. We got there, seemed to be stiff resistance. We backed off and actually closed lower on the day, down towards the lows of the days at 92 1/4 on the Jan there. So we had some encouragement early, and it sort of subsided late in the day.
This past weekend on Commodity Week, several of our analysts, and I heard you say this morning about a couple of the folks who do some research, are suggesting that on rallies, beans be sold. Would you be in that camp?
Well, I think so. I was hoping for a bigger rally than just the 601, Todd.
That's not what you call a rally,
you know,
is it?
We were hoping for a little bit more than that. But, you know, we generally see a post-harvest rally. We just haven't put a good one together here yet this year. We'd like to see a little more popper oomph come into this and then probably do a little more pricing because, unfortunately, we didn't sell enough early.
And you told Dave this morning that you thought probably that the futures bottoms were in for both the corn and the soybeans. At least I think you told him that.
I think that, you know, basically we've got, as we said, most everything stuck away here now. We feel as hard as the, you know, at least the, I don't know if I'd say futures as much as I'll say cash, because, you know, we definitely are coming back. And I think that probably the futures bottoms are in too, but at least for now, for the fall time period. Because I think that as we look at things are tucked away now. We're going to be some pretty hesitant sellers here as far as the farmers are concerned, because not many are going to open their bin doors until at least the 1st of January.
Given that, and in the interim, because we know everything's pretty much locked up and it won't be moved around, what kind of fun plays might farmers think about if they're looking to get into the market? What are you doing over the last couple of days that you think is an interesting possibility?
Well, we were hoping for a little better, shot up towards that $2 here in the D's corn along the way. But, I mean, it does seem to have sort of stymied here. Right now, this afternoon, sometime through the day here, the German government said that they might drop their subsidy on rapeseed oil for biodiesel, and that, of course, shocked the rapeseed market. And the rapeseed market being down sharply was what sort of pulled the bean market down into the close, Todd. And unfortunately, the little pounce up in the beans that we were looking for sort of got stalled by announcement of the German government.
And then let's turn your attention to the mercantile exchange very quickly, where the November feeder cattle adding 57.5 cents today, $116.37.5. Yesterday, Kurt Kimmel said he couldn't believe it continued to float on air like this. When's the bubble going to burst for the cattle?
Well, you know, I guess I'm a little bit like Kurt. I've been more of a seller than buyer over the last 2 days, but they attributed the higher market data, higher box beef prices again today, second day in a row, and the optimism about the beef exports, picking back up after, because President Bush is scheduled to talk to the Japanese officials and hopefully with a positive outcome. So yesterday we were up about $3 in the box beef and up another $2 today, so... but that was on light volume. There was about 114 loads traded today, and there's usually over 200. So that is on lighter volume, but we are looking, you know, for possibly something to open up with Japan. The bad part to the cattle and the hogs both is we seem to have a downturn in chicken because of the bird flu as far as consumers looking at it. And because of that, why we are seeing chicken prices getting much more reasonable here in the U.S., as beef prices and pork prices go up, along with the high fuel prices, we might see a lot of featuring of the poultry here in the U.S.
And then if you could come back to the grains very quickly, we did
sure.
not talk about what happened in the wheat, and they were off 4.75. Most of that came at the end of the session?
Yeah, you know, a lot of pressure come in the wheat pit. I think that some of the rains in some area, not the slowing of the exports weren't just exactly where we'd like to see them being. And a little bit of some spread unwinding along the way. So, you know, a lot of stuff when wheat's down that hard, and a lot that was the one place the funds were hitting and selling. Both commercials and the funds were sellers in the wheat today. So there was no good support there. And I think that sort of pulled the corn down. And then, of course, like we said, the rapeseed oil pulled out beans down.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will look at the ag weather with us. Our forecast for this afternoon, we're still under a tornado watch. That's in effect for much of central and southern Illinois and much of west central and southwestern Indiana until 5 o'clock this evening. A flood watch in effect for far southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana until 9 o'clock tonight. And a wind advisory is in effect for much of northwestern Illinois tonight and tomorrow tonight. Across the two-state region, it will be mostly cloudy, windy, turning very cold in northern Indiana, showers in southern and southern Illinois, showers early. The lows this evening from 25 in far northwestern Illinois to 38 in southeastern Indiana. Now today's agricultural news. Japan's Food Safety Commission yesterday held the first in a series of seven public meetings around the country to gather comments on plans to drop the country's ban on U.S. beef. The public comment period follows release of a report by the Food Safety Commission subcommittee that found little difference in the risk of infection from mad cow disease between U.S. and Japanese beef. Meanwhile, nearly 60% of major supermarket and restaurant operators in Japan are planning to offer the U.S. beef when the ban on the imports is lifted. U.S. agriculture trade will post an ag trade surplus this fiscal year, but it will be less than half of last year's. In fiscal year 2004, the ag surplus was $9.71 billion. In fiscal year 2005, which ended September 30th, it fell to $4.67 billion. Nora Brooks, economist with USDA's Economic Research Service, says while the U.S. ag exports were about the same this year, U.S. ag imports were sharply higher.
We will still have a surplus. It's going to be about half of what it was for 2004. Exports are nearly identical to what they were in 2004. They're only about $20 million higher than last year. The imports rose to $57.7 billion in fiscal 2005, which is up $5 billion from 2004.
Much of that ag import increase came in high-value products like wine, nuts, and flowers. The U.S. has not posted an ag trade deficit since 1959. Well, prime ministers meeting at the annual Asian-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit say leaders from the Pacific Rim economies, including the United States, China, and Japan, are expected to sign a strongly worded statement aimed at breathing life back into the global trade talks that have stalled over mostly European opposition to farm subsidy cuts. APEC leaders are also expected to sign off on a wide-ranging communique that will include a new counterterrorism and anti-corruption proposal, cooperation on combating bird flu, and steps to advance the group's goal of establishing a free trade zone by 2020. Meanwhile, U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman said Monday that negotiators cannot begin to work to cut trade barriers and services in industry until something is settled in agriculture. Portman blamed the deadlock on the EU, whose recent offer to reduce agricultural trade tariffs is well below what the U.S. has already proposed. Portman also said China and other Asian nations, most of which are highly successful exporters, had much to gain from a successful conclusion to the round. Well, U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns told the U.S. Climate Change Workshop in Washington, D.C., that the Bush administration is committed to reducing greenhouse gases contributing to global warming, and the secretary says that includes greenhouse gases that come from ag production. He says USDA is beginning to partner with U.S. farmers and ranchers in building methane digesters for carbon sequestration, essentially storing carbon in farm fields.
These partnerships are tackling agriculture's contributions to the buildup of greenhouse gases. Our programs are providing incentives to conserve soil carbon, improve energy efficiency on the farm, capture and use methane from livestock waste, and plant trees to sequester carbon.
The U.S. government says carbon dioxide emissions make up more than 80% of all greenhouse gas emissions in the United States, totaling some 1.9 billion metric tons each year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In today's listener opinion forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Karen Hertz says farmers need to keep a vigilant eye on their anhydrous ammonia tanks.
Now that the crops are all, or nearly all, harvested, our thoughts are turning to the holidays, and farmers are busy preparing for the next growing season. That preparation often includes applying fertilizer. Unfortunately, anhydrous ammonia, a key ingredient for farmers fertilizing their fields, is also a key ingredient for the production of the drug methamphetamine, and addicts have little fear of stealing it from plain view. Sadly, methamphetamine production and use has become an epidemic in East Central Illinois. As fall anhydrous application is in full swing, farmers are reminded to check their tanks before each use for accurate levels, tampering, leaks, etc. Additionally, anhydrous tanks should be left in well-lit areas close to buildings in hopes of deterring theft. Alertness and vigilance are important for everyone living in rural areas. Any and all incidents or abnormalities should be reported to the County Sheriff's Department non-emergency number. The struggle to keep the production of methamphetamine and related crimes out of Illinois did receive a boost last week from the state legislature. The Methamphetamine Precursor Control Act, passed by the Illinois House and Senate, places stricter regulations on the display and sale of pseudoephedrine, commonly found in cold medicines, and an essential ingredient in methamphetamine production. If the governor signs the bill into law, over-the-counter medication containing pseudoephedrine will be available only at pharmacies, and consumers will have to sign a log and show identification when purchasing it. Surrounding states already have tougher restrictions on the ingredients needed to produce methamphetamine. This bill will help prevent Illinois from becoming a haven for meth production by bringing the regulations in line with other states. On another subject, I'd like to take a second opportunity to remind you to participate in the Big Small All Champaign County Community Dialogue meetings going on this month. This is a unique chance to contribute your ideas toward the future of Champaign County. Check the website, www.bigsmallall.cc, for more details about times and locations. Remember, your voice won't be heard unless you speak up. For the Champaign County Farm Bureau, this is Karen Hurst.
Karen Hurt's comments are her own. They reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of the station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850. Hey, if you live in the Vincennes area, you might put this meeting on your schedule for tomorrow night at 7 Eastern or Indiana time. That's 6 o'clock if you live in Illinois. Dave Dickey, along with the WILL Ag Outlook panelist Mike Zuzolo, Clayton Pope, and Tim Young, will be at the Vincennes University Technology Center. The meeting is free and reservations are not required. Well, USDA released what is effectively the last growing season crop weather report for the year this week. It shows 95% of the corn has been harvested around the nation. That's ahead of last year by 10 percentage points and 4 points ahead of the rolling 5-year average. USDA reports 88% of the winter wheat crop has been sown, and while a majority of the crop is in good to excellent condition, some 57%, that's not nearly as good as last year at this time when 68% of the winter wheat crop was said to be in those two categories.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on the weather and crop report for the week ending November 13th. Unseasonably warm temperatures and below normal precipitation allowed farmers nearly 6 days in the fields to finish up fall harvesting and continue with fall tillage last week. According to the Illinois State Water Survey, fall nitrogen applications south of Illinois Highway 16 are not recommended due to the warm soil temperatures. Temperatures averaging from 9 to 10 degrees above normal and virtually no rainfall caused a decline in topsoil moisture supplies, currently at 21% very short, 31% short, 45% adequate, and 3% surplus. Taking a look at the crop progress numbers from last week, corn harvest is nearly complete with 99% harvested compared to 94% last year and 97% for the 5-year average. The only big delays this harvest season were not caused by the weather but by transportation and storage capacity. Soft red winter wheat emergence advanced to 97%, and this compares with 85% last year and 92% for the 5-year average. Condition of the wheat crop improved to 1% poor, 18% fair, 63% good, and 18% excellent. In other crops around the state, 99% of the sorghum crop has been harvested ahead of last year's 88% and 95% normally. Other farm activities included hauling grain, applying anhydrous, lime, and fertilizer, cleaning and winterizing equipment, and tending livestock. This will be the final weekly weather and crop report for the 2005 growing season. The Illinois Weather and Crop Report is published weekly from April through early November and published monthly in December, January, February, and March. This has been Brad Schwab reporting for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending on November 7th. Many farmers have finished both their corn and soybean harvest. As the harvest activity nears completion, farmers have turned their attention to other activities such as fall tillage, spreading fertilizer, and liming. Topsoil moisture was rated 4% very short, 21% short, 72% adequate, and 3% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 11% very short, 29% short, 59% adequate, and 1% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0.32 to 1.25 inches. Temperatures averaged from a low of 28 to a high of 78 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 5.6 days were rated as suitable for field work, compared with 2.9 days last year. 89% of Indiana's corn acreage has been harvested, compared with 85% for last year and 82% for the average. In northern Indiana, 89% of the corn acreage is harvested, 88% is harvested in the central region, and 93% in the south. Moisture content of corn harvested fell slightly from last week to 16%. 96% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared with 93% last year and 94% for the average. In northern Indiana, 98% of the soybean acreage is harvested, 97% in the central region, and 92% in the south. Moisture content of harvested soybeans was unchanged from last week at about 12%. 98% of the winter wheat acreage has been planted, compared with 87% last year and 94% for the average. 87% of the winter wheat acreage has emerged, compared with 77% for last year and 80% for the average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office. Thank you.
This is Dan Norris, statistician from USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending November 6, 2005. Corn harvest nears completion. A week of above-average temperatures and limited rainfall enabled farmers to make good progress with field activities. Slightly over 90% of the state's corn crop has been harvested. As harvest was winding down, many farmers were busy applying lime and fertilizer. About one-third of Iowa's fall fertilizer application was completed. Fall tillage was commonly reported as well. Fewer reports of anhydrous ammonia applications were received as ground temperatures remained too high this past week. Last week, there were 6.5 days suitable for field work. For the field crops report, corn harvest reached 91% complete, which was up 11 percentage points from a week ago and 5 percentage points ahead of normal. The percent moisture of field corn was 16%, down 1 percentage point from a week ago. Harvest corn percent moisture at 15% was equal to that of a week ago, but 3 percentage points lower than a year ago. Corn lodging rated 61% none, 27% light, 9% moderate, and 3% heavy. Corn ear droppage rated 68% none, 25% light, 6% moderate, and 1% heavy. Fall fertilizer application was 32% complete statewide, which is up 6 percentage points from the 5-year average. Grain movement from farm to elevator was rated 26% none, 29% light, 30% moderate, and 15% heavy. Off-farm grain storage availability rated 69% short, 30% adequate, and 1% surplus. On-farm grain storage availability rated 61% short, 38% adequate, and 1% surplus. This was Dan Norris, statistician with the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office.
This is Doug Bounds reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather summary for the week ending November 13, 2005. Corn harvest was 95% complete, ahead of last year at 81 and average at 89. Sorghum harvest moved to 98% complete, ahead of 84 last year and 93 average. The emergence of the 2006 wheat crop was near completion at 99%. Conditions were rated as 67% good or excellent, ahead of last year and normal. Topsoil moisture levels remain rated below last year and average, while subsoil moisture levels remain above. Warm, dry conditions allowed producers to perform fall tillage operations and fertilizer applications. This has been Doug Bounds with the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
And I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report on AM 580. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your local newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Governor Rob Blagojevich signed his all-kids insurance plan into law today at a ceremony on Chicago's South Side. The program is designed to provide comprehensive health insurance for every uninsured child in Illinois. All Kids targets children whose families make too much money to qualify for free government health care, but still can't afford private insurance. The governor says he hopes to sign up 50,000 children in the first year of the program. The former Vehicle Services Chief in George Ryan's office is spending a grueling third day on the witness stand at the former Illinois governor's racketeering and fraud trial. James Covert says Ryan squelched his effort to open up a $1 million contract to competitive bidding and made sure that the contract went to a company represented by his co-defendant, Larry Warner. But a defense attorney for Warner suggested that law enforcement officials wanted the contract written Ryan's way. And Covert acknowledged that he didn't know if Ryan talked with any police officials about it. A grain dealer in Terre Haute who spoke up at a federal hearing last night says the debate over Indiana's time zone boundaries will continue even after federal officials make their ruling in January. Kay Whitlock says she thinks the issue of time zones will wind up in the Indiana state legislature again next year and that lawmakers will try to place all but a few southern counties on Eastern time. Whitlock and a majority of those speaking at last night's hearing favor switching more western Indiana counties to central time. Delinquent Indiana state taxpayers have until midnight to take advantage of the one-time tax amnesty period of the Indiana Department of Revenue. They have until that hour to drop their payments in the mail or visit one of the agency's 12 offices across the state. The National Weather Service says up to 10 inches of rain have fallen in southern Illinois since midnight, and some flooding is already reported. Saline County Sheriff spokesman Tracy Felty said floodwaters have reached some homes. The Weather Service's Union, Jackson, and Williamson counties were also hard hit by the rains and reported flooding. Parts of southern Illinois are under a tornado watch until this evening. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. In fact, a tornado watch is in effect for much of central and southern Illinois and much of west central and southwestern Indiana until 5 o'clock this evening. A flood watch in effect for southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana until 9 o'clock this evening. And a wind advisory is in effect for much of northwestern Illinois tonight and tomorrow. Joining us now to take a look at the weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, we don't usually talk to you in the midst of what is tumultuous weather here in the Midwest. Tell me about it and some of that rainfall that we've had in the southern part of the state over the last 12 to 14 hours.
Excessive. This is a second system in a row, very intense coming out of the Plain States, similar to the system that caused the tornadoes in Iowa over the weekend, but this system tracking a little bit further south, able to tap into some Gulf of Mexico moisture and draw it right up into the Midwest. It does look like, though, in the next few hours, the worst of it will be over and some very chilly air going to come in behind this. And for the first time this month, we're going to be able to talk about some modified colder November weather coming in behind this storm.
So cold, in fact, it will be less than freezing, right?
Very much so. Especially tomorrow night, we could see lower 20s. Northern Illinois will see temperatures in the mid to upper teens. So the first real salvo of some very cold temperatures for this time of year coming on in. It's one reason why we've got a lot of severe weather. This is the first real strong Canadian cold front coming on in. And hence, we've got a lot of bad weather out ahead of it.
Man, that's going to feel cold given the temperatures we've had.
We've been very spoiled.
Tell me about other parts around the globe. Maybe out west where there's really no snow cover and the wheat has been probably actively growing, I would think.
Well, yeah. Now, the colder air that's going to come in behind this has spilled into the winter wheat areas where it has been so warm. A little bit of concern of some temperatures tonight out there. There will be many areas down into the lower to mid-teens and portions of western Kansas well below freezing down into north-central and northwest areas of Texas and Oklahoma. So there'll be some concern of maybe a little bit of damage there, but the trend will be cooler across all of the USA that will help out that situation.
And anything else to add before we let you go for the day?
Moist in South America and moist in most of the southern hemisphere.
Don, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For more information, call 866-837-9027.
And that is today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And remember, you can listen to the futures analysis and the weather reports right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to WILL.UIUC.edu, click on AM, and then, as always, agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good afternoon.